It don't matter what I try, I just can't win and I don't know why. There's a fork in every road, I pick the wrong one and then I go. American loser, yes I am. Disenfranchised from everything. Well, I fall up and I fall down. An American loser the day I was born.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of American Loser. Where else could we be than a shared universe podcast studio in Eatontown, New Jersey? It's Sunday. I think we're all hungover. Is that fair to say? For the most part, except for the adult in the room, our guest this week, my pal Ty Rainey.
Hey, what's happening?
It is, I was blown away because you and the Kahuna immediately just started talking at levels of the tech aspect of podcasting that I do not understand, and I've had a show for 2 years.
Oh, man.
It was basically at the point where just KP was like, and they're speaking Chinese.
And he just tuned out. He's just like, I'm just tuning out.
Well, I've been outclassed very clearly here, man. So, of course, behind the ones and twos, who other than the best podcast producer in all of Eatontown, New Jersey? The big Kahuna himself. How are you, bud?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm good. You're looking rough, bud.
I know. I'm sorry to the audience if I sound like a flat tire today. I'm just like, I feel like crap. No. But when KP told me he was doing an episode, of course I got to come in.
You soldiered through, man. I appreciate that. So, and I'm excited, too, because we've been meaning to have, because Ty, as I said earlier, is one of the first comics, the first Jersey comics I met when I moved back up here after I got out of the Navy. And we met at the infamous stand in New York City.
Yeah,
and I remember seeing you on stage. I was like, all right, this guy's got fucking chops.
Wow.
And then we became friends afterwards.
Well,
and then
thank you.
I've been meaning to have you on the show. Since then, the stand has closed, reopened, and, you know.
Closed again?
No, they're pretty, I hate to say it, man. They are so successful, they don't even fuck with me anymore. I used to get some emails.
Yeah, it's changed up a lot.
Yeah.
It's changed up a lot.
It's There's an insular click to it, too, now.
I think. It is. It's very... You can feel it. It's very cliquish feeling in there. And you can get
that
vibe from them. They're cool, but you can get that energy from some of the comics, too.
Yeah. It's
it's like, hey, you're not a part of our club. Like, you can't be here.
Like, what are you doing here? Are you trying to bump somebody to be here?
Yeah. It's you think someone's not going to show up and you get to go up now? Are you here to live your Cinderella moment?
That's crazy. You know what's so funny? I didn't know that I was one of the first comics you said you met. Coming back up from out of the Navy, you said, and it's at the stand?
Yeah, after I left Florida, my third day, because I knew our boy, our mutual friend, Randy Humphrey, I knew him from Florida.
Okay,
and
right.
I swear to God, I saved this for the podcast. When I first met him, he was going by the name Jams Andwich.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was...
Wow.
But he was cool. He told me when we... Because I was cool with him down in Florida. He was all nervous going up at like a weird bar show we were at.
Yeah.
And he goes... Because, hey, man, if you ever come up to New York, let me know and I'll hook you up or something. And I just texted him. I was like, hey, dude, I just moved back to Jersey. And he goes, oh, cool. Come hang out at the stand tonight. And I was like, I thought you were full of shit, man.
Shit, right.
And then that was a show. I think it was like you, DeStefano was on that one, I think.
Yes, DeStefano was on there.
And then there's a couple of it.
Also,
like,
Friedman. Judah. Judah.
Yeah, Judah.
Yep, Judah was on there. Talking about shark tears and shit. Dolphin tears.
I can't believe the mileage that guy gets out of some of his premises.
Yeah. You know what it is? He's just good. He's just good at what he does because he just jumps into it. He's right in pocket with all that rambling shit, but it works.
Hell yeah,
dude. Fucking works. He's funny as shit.
Well,
I didn't realize all that. Damn, KP. We got some history and shit here, man.
Where's my problem? I am a full blown alcoholic. There's no doubt about it. However,
right.
I have my memory is like.
Amazing.
It's why I have to drink all the time, because I remember too much shit, where it's like, oh, I'm not going to drink tonight. And then you remember like a girl you asked out in seventh grade
said
no to you, and you're like, listen, Erica, I'm not going to. And then you have to just, you know, booze it up to get through things. But
I'm the pain.
Part of the whole weird thing is, though, is that I remember stories. You know, that's why I like history so much.
Okay.
I'm tortured by that to a degree.
Okay.
But me and the old man wanted to have you on. He's down in Florida. Larry's back being South Beach Larry right now.
Okay. South Beach Larry.
Ever since he retired, man. That's, you know, Irish people aren't supposed to be that close to Miami.
That's a lot of exposure there, man.
Yeah, that's an inevitable skin cancer epidemic about to break out.
If he doesn't come back looking like a lobster, I'm going to have some questions.
Well, my mom's Armenian, so she leaves Armenian and comes back Puerto Rican. It's weird. She gets dark, dude. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, I bet. But better stay underneath the gazebo. You get burnt.
But we got the show, if you guys don't know, if it's your first time listening to the show here, what it is, it's American Loser. We tell the stories of the, quote, losers. And we mean that in quotations for losers from American history. They can be a loser because things didn't work out their way. They can be a loser how they're remembered in history, or the fact that they weren't remembered in history at all and they did something pretty cool, which is kind of where today's guy falls in. We got mad Jersey tie-ins, too, for this one. I'm excited.
You know I'm a sucker for that.
I don't know if Kahuna's jaw is going to drop on this one. We like to try to get our boy to freak out every now and then on the show if we can. I don't know if we're going to get you today, all right? But I did do some quality research here, and I think you guys are going to like this one. A lot of times on the show, we're gonna, like, I'll read about some in research, and I think I'm getting punked. Like, you ever go on Wikipedia and you know somebody changed a fact around just to fuck with somebody?
Okay, right, okay, right. And you're like, this is some bullshit.
Yeah, like I read one that guy...
I saw one. It was, K.P. Burke is a successful comic.
Man.
I was like, oh, I got to change that right back.
What? Just he insists on hurting me. I don't know why. But one that we saw that was wild was it was Teddy Roosevelt. I thought they were messing with me on Wikipedia. They're like, oh, Teddy Roosevelt used to drink 2 pots of coffee a day. And I was like, oh, somebody lied and made that one up. Nope, that's true. He drank 2 pots of coffee a day.
I could see that.
Yeah, he was essentially on speed his entire life.
That explains a lot, now that I think about it.
Oh, yeah.
Don't fuck with TR. Don't fuck with TR when he doesn't have his coffee.
Yeah, when you get shot in the stomach and then finish your speech.
Was he really shot in the stomach and finished his speech?
That's a true story, man. He got shot when he was running for president a third time, and then a would-be assassin shot him. It was like a small caliber bullet, like a .22 or something. But
Does it matter? That shit, you got shot.
Well, you know what it is? We're blinded because I grew up in the day and age. I was in high school when 50 Cent came out, and anybody who's been shot less than 9 times, I'm not impressed with.
Okay. Got you. Meanwhile, you got shot by whatever gun, BB gun, whatever gun. It could be anything.
And then that's why I think TR was really a stand-up comic, because he got up and did his time afterwards. You know what I mean? He's like, I'm not missing a spot. So
he would have tried to give him the light.
That's
wrap it up. They're shooting at you. God damn. It's a sensitive crowd out here.
Oh, shit.
So we got a wild one today, man. This guy, when I read about him, I was like, there's no way this shit's all true, but it is, okay? And part of him, I kind of want to know why he's not mentioned in, like, history books in school more, because this dude's wild. All right. Going off the top of your head, you know who Jackie Robinson is, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Guy, just one of the most famous baseball players of all time, broke the color barrier in baseball, right? American legend. He gets credit, deservingly so, in Major League Baseball. He's, you know, an icon. However, in doing research for this episode, we discovered a few weird and unconventional things, okay? Uh-oh. So, Jackie, nothing bad. We're not, no smear jobs here.
They're coming for Jackie. Uh-oh.
I was about to say, wait, how is this going to turn out?
They're coming for you, Jackie.
Well, how do you, like, when you remember something, like, they always, the phrase is what kind of ties in with Jackie Robinson, that he broke the color barrier, right?
Right.
But they never say he was the first black guy to play Major League Baseball.
No. Well, I think that goes hand in hand.
True.
It does. Because I don't follow baseball. And I know who Jackie Robinson is, just, you know, because of him breaking the color barrier and playing, being the first African American to play Major League Baseball. But, yeah, other than that, that's where I leave baseball. You know what I mean? So
it ain't for everybody.
It's not for everybody. I know a little bit. I know enough to play it, but
Well, I love the sport, and I'm always blown away by the history of it too. So this one was what kind of blew my mind, was that you can't say that Jackie Robinson's the first African American to play in the major leagues, because there was a dude in 1884 named Moses Fleetwood Walker, who was like the star of the Cleveland team.
What a badass name.
That is a pretty bad. Moses Fleetwood Walker?
That's the best stage introduction name I've ever heard. Moses. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Moses Fleetwood Walker.
Oh, hey, I would love to hear Steve Harvey introduce that goddamn name. That name is amazing. Moses Fleetwood Walker? That's some made up shit. That's his nickname, obviously, right? Fleetwood's got to be his nickname.
Dude, like, I don't even know, but I absolutely. I saw it because they have a photo of him from like the team photo or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like back in the day when they had like to hand stitch the jerseys and shit.
Right, right.
So it's like a little piece of rope up there kind of keeping like the V collar.
Right,
and,
right.
Dude, it's nuts. They said he was like the absolute star of the team. He would just, but when he left baseball, no African Americans played again until Jackie. So they literally created the color barrier once they got the game up on its feet.
Right.
So it almost makes Jackie Robinson that much more prolific because it's like, oh, you guys put a structure in front of me and then boom, driving a truck through it. So.
Well, you know, hey man, shit, you control that much, you can control when the shit starts. Like, you know what? No, fuck that. Let's just move this again. That guy was good. Fleetwood was one. He was quite the player. Let's put him back here.
Do you guys know that we haven't won since Fleetwood left? You guys ever noticed that?
We won shit since Fleetwood. But Fleetwood, what year was this again?
That was 1884. That's like right when baseball started.
Right, but how was it being broadcasted? Like, did people know about Fleetwood? Like, this was what part of the country was this? I would assume this is part of the South.
No, right? He was in Ohio.
He was in Ohio? Yeah. Okay. And I guess you would have to, would it be on the radio, broadcasted on the radio?
Well, nah. Back then, I don't think they had, I think it would have been newspaper clipping. And again, where it's such an impetus of, by the way, he's not even the loser this week.
Right.
So that's the craziest part.
Oh, okay.
But, he is.
Well, he can't be. Damn, that'd be hard. Like, damn, he's still a loser.
Listen, man, we've done guests like that. We're like, damn, KP, this man ain't no loser. Like, he's just got a circumstance.
You called him a loser.
It's the we use the term loosely. I'll put it that way.
All right, yeah,
but,
okay.
But no, so Moses Fleetwood Walker in 1884 is he's one of the stars of one of the early on like Ohio. I think it was Cleveland. I want to say Cleveland teams.
Okay,
which kind of comes into a full circle towards the very end of this one. But there was indeed afterwards this color barrier that got put into effect, and it barred African Americans from playing the game of baseball, which was becoming a massively popular sport. Like right now, I think we can all agree that we're a football nation at this point.
Absolutely.
That's the ratings would indicate. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So, but back in the day, imagine there's all of a sudden a game that you can play where if the American dream is sitting there and you know, coming from a humble background and then moving on to accomplish something.
Right.
Then we did an episode not too long ago on Shoeless Joe Jackson. Okay. Guy couldn't read. Guy couldn't write. He literally, the reason he got in trouble legally is because he signed a piece of paper that was a guilty claim.
Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Yeah, and he was worth some money, dude. That's
one of the best episodes. That was a great one, too.
Yeah, he got just destroyed in it was the Black Sox scandal where they accused him of throwing the World Series. So it was wild.
The whole
shit
team
too.
Got in trouble. If you look into that story, it's wild. But like, Shoeless Joe Jackson was one of those who got barred from ever playing it again.
He was the scapegoat for all that
yep,
shit.
He got took, scapegoated. He still holds the
man can't read.
Third highest batting average in Major League Baseball history.
Well, what was his name?
Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Yeah, well, I would expect someone named Shoeless Joe Jackson can't read. That's a name that kind of goes along with I can't read.
Well, but the cool thing for him was that coming out of South Carolina, he was like dirt poor and then came up and was able to have this baseball career.
Yeah.
He's still infamous to a degree.
Wow.
Now, this next guy, a little bit better circumstances towards the second half of his life here. But you want to go by nicknames, man. Baseball gives good nicknames.
Okay.
Okay. There's some wild ones out there.
Okay.
This guy is, I think he might be my favorite baseball player ever now after having read about him. So even if you have just a small little bit of familiarity with, so you have Major League Baseball that's going on there.
Okay.
And then what's the other league that's going on that's allowing African Americans to play?
Hockey? What the fuck? What was it? NHL? I don't know. What shit? I don't know. What other league is there?
It was
for baseball, you mean?
When you had the color barrier, they literally had the Negro Leagues.
Right. Okay. The Negro Leagues. So, right.
And
right.
Dude, did you know this, man? This was, hang on. My father sent this to me earlier. First jersey tie-in that we have here for this one.
Okay.
It was in 1933, the stadium that... the first complete season of hosting baseball was Hinchcliffe Stadium, which I believe is still in Patterson, right by the falls.
Okay. So I know where that is. Yeah.
So there was a whole – I mean, it was – people would go see because they wouldn't allow the players to be – the teams weren't allowed to be integrated until Jackie Robinson literally showed up and kind of fucked everything, took all their game plans and just threw it all aside and said, listen, you guys want to win some games. This,
you know, you better integrate.
This is how you do
you
it.
You might want the best players. So, and the Negro Leagues were on fire, man. They were like just tearing shit up. They had a whole cult following. There's almost a Harlem Globetrotters vibe to them when you read about them and shit. But it's pretty interesting.
Do they have that bomb-ass Hanna-Barbera cartoon? I don't think so.
Is it that Hanna-Barbera cartoon?
Yeah, man. Do they know? I don't hear nothing about it.
I don't think they did, man. I think you're right. But get this one, dude. You want to talk about today's losers? We introduce him. Joe DiMaggio once called this guy the greatest pitcher I've ever faced. And St. Louis Cardinals Hall of Famer Dizzy Dean once said of today's loser, if he and I pitched in the same rotation, we'd clinch the pennant by July and then go fishing till the World Series. All right, so this is some – that's Hall of Famers saying that this guy's the greatest ever. Today's loser, incomparable, Satchel Paige.
Satchel Paige.
You know anything about him?
The name – rings a bell, actually.
That's a stage name.
I've heard of Satchel Paige before. I've heard that name before.
Dude, it sounds like we were talking about earlier, that someone hacked a Wikipedia and just made this shit up. But this guy's legit, man. This is like 110% true. He was born in the slums of Mobile, Alabama.
Okay.
On a date, get this one makes me laugh too, on a date that he refuses to ever confirm. So we still don't know when this guy was born.
On a date he refuses to ever confirm. Yep. Thank you, Satchel. So,
well, he got a quote that was
made it easy for us, but no.
This is a good quote about him because his age comes into play because it winds up being a matter of Major League Baseball records at a couple of points. But this was a good quote. Someone once asked him, they said, well, how old are you? And he goes, well, if you didn't know how old you were and someone asked you how old you are, what would you say?
Oh, I hate bullshit like that.
That's it, right?
I hate when people say bullshit like that. Like, never fucking mind. Like, just walk away.
That's
end of interview.
Yeah, essentially.
Because of that shit.
But he answered it in a question. Probably the reporter's just sitting there like, man, this guy's a fucking dick.
Yeah, man. Don't be a dick. How old are you? 68. Thank you. That's all we fucking need. I don't need some fucking, you know, mysterious type of fortune cookie type shit to read. Satcho. What's his name?
Satchel Paige.
Satchel Paige.
Yeah.
God bless him, man.
I got to ask you this one, too, man, because you have, like, my uncle growing up called me KP. I didn't go by KP until, like, but there's a Kevin Burke that does comedy.
Okay.
So, and he's out in Vegas, I think. He was like,
a Kevin Burke, huh?
Yeah. So, a legit Kevin. So, I'm Kevin Patrick. So, I started going by KP on stage.
Yeah.
And that was like a nickname of mine anyway, but it just kind of, that's literally how I'm known now. It's weird.
Yeah.
But
it's how I call you. I don't think I've ever once called you Kevin.
That's true, too, man. It's like when, we won't give away the Kahuna's real name. We like to keep a little bit of his privacy alive and intact. But,
all right.
It's, sometimes I'll, you know, Ming or Mike will be like, oh, yeah, so and so is going to be in with you today. And I was like, who? And they're like, Kahuna, you know, he's been with you for 2 years.
the guy you've been working with. Oh, yeah.
Well, is Ty, you growing up, you were called Ty or what?
Ty. Ty is short for Tyari. So that is my full name. And
I've known this guy for 4 years now, and I'm just finding this out.
Probably longer than that. Probably longer than that. But yeah, no, not a lot of people know, not a lot of probably comedians would know that. But my whole name is my whole first name is Tayari. It's Swahili. It means one who is always prepared. So,
and true to form, showed up with his own podcast equipment. Should we have failed?
Yeah, podcast equipment, gimbal.
Yeah, man. I got to come prepared, man.
He's got merch on his head too.
I got a little bit of
Tyranny.com stuff.
Little Tyranny. So I chopped it down to Ty. It just makes it a little bit easier. Just instead of Tyari.
What's a good stage name too, dude? For real.
Thank you, man.
The
Moses Fleetwood.
Tyranny.
I think we're gonna top Moses Fleetwood.
Jesus.
Get this one, dude. All right. So our boy Satchel was actually born Leroy Robert Paige.
Okay, Leroy. Okay.
He was born the son of a gardener and a domestic worker. His mother's name was Lulu.
Okay.
And they added the I to the name Paige because they wanted to, it's like a matter of sophistication kind of a thing. You know, like, oh really? We're the Pages. Hello.
Okay.
But Leroy supposedly became known as Satchel. This one made me laugh, dude. This is like pretty solid. As a boy in Mobile, Alabama, he would go down to the train station and he would carry people's bags for him. Like he was like a pretty, you know, in shape kid.
Okay.
So you would get a dime a bag. Okay. But in order to make more money, he wanted to carry multiple bags at once. So he took like some sticks and a couple of like pieces of string and he MacGyvered himself this kind of like contraption where he could carry four bags at once. Okay. So the nickname they started to give him was, that boy looks like a damn walking satchel tree. So that's how they started to call it.
Satchel.
So, yeah. Well, I mean, you're going to notice that if a guy's, if there's a little kid walking around carrying four bags on like.
Yeah. Then you deserve that nickname, kid. Well, Satchel.
And the start of the legend right there, my friend. By age 10, Satchel is completely obsessed with a game known as Top Ball, okay? Which was this form of baseball played with sticks and bottle caps, dude. There was like, because in order to play baseball, what do you have to have? You got to have a field.
Field, right? You got to have a glove.
Gloves. You ever hear, like, my favorite baseball player ever is Mariano Rivera. And Mo used to play with a glove he made out of cardboard in Panama because they didn't have like anything real,
right,
legit
right.
to play. Yeah, no leather. Leather's hard to come by in general.
Right.
So Satchel Paige is out here playing this game of top ball with bottle caps and sticks. That's how they're playing baseball.
Wow. Okay?
Imagine how good of a batter you'd have to be to hit a bottle cap. All right?
You got to be good as hell.
But, and also, baseball is a sport of failure. If you... You and me are comics, so I can use this example here, and I know Kahuna will appreciate it. In baseball, a 300 hitter is great. That means every 10 times you go up to the plate, three of those are going to result in a hit.
Yeah.
If me and Ty, and we know some people who average this in comedy,
yeah.
If every 10 times you go on stage, it goes good three of those times, you're a failure. No one wants to work with you, man. Don't send me avails.
That's rough.
I'm not paying you.
That's
all right?
Tough. That's tough.
But there are people we know that do this. Yeah.
God bless them.
Mark Rigondeaux. Love you, Mark.
No. It's a little rough. Yeah, but you goddamn KP, that's goddamn accurate. Yeah,
but now imagine taking the baseball and now shrinking it down to a bottle cap and playing with a stick. And apparently Satchel's loving it. He's having the time of his life.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
He unfortunately, his mother actually Satchel. Noticed this. It's such a good name, too.
Satchel. That's what I call my little bag here, my Satchel.
Satchel, get your
has all my
over
things
here.
In it. Yeah. God damn it, Satchel.
Well, Satchel's mother, again, the infamous Lulu, she noticed that her son had this passion for the game and stated that it was baseball, baseball, baseball.
Right.
My son would rather play baseball than eat. So if he was calling, if you were calling him like, hey, dinner's on the table, he's like, all right.
He's like, yeah, fuck all that.
Well, unfortunately, shortly after his 12th birthday, Satchel gets himself into a little bit of trouble with the law, okay? And there's reports that vary on the incident. Some say it was a rock fight he got into with some people.
Lies.
It's another one was, this one was dumb, too. Someone said he tried to steal a bag. It's like, why would he?
Because his name is Satchel. I get it, guys. This is lies, yo. These are all lies, KP. They're lying on the brother. Damn it.
Well, they sent it. He was around 12 at the time. Okay. Mm-hmm. And again, we don't really know his age. He never confirmed it. So he gets sentenced to boarding school. That was his punishment from the court. It was a reform school. And they said it was going to be, you have to go here for 6 years or till your 18th birthday, whichever happens first.
What?
Yeah. Dude, it was, that's an intense punishment. Reform school for 6 years.
This is what happens to a brother back then. This is what you get.
You're not exaggerating at all.
Satchel.
Dude, they sent him to, it was a reform school in Mountain Meigs, I want to say it was pronounced. But the interesting thing about the school was it had an all-black teaching staff. Okay.
Mm.
So one of the guys there, Reverend Moses Davis, not Moses Fleetwood Walker, different guy here.
All okay.
Right? Reverend Moses Davis.
No relation.
Well, he was... It was a pretty interesting school just because it was a whole to operate outside the system like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a reform school. You got these troubled kids coming in here. But then the people that are able to reach them, like this guy, Reverend Moses Davis, I should say, he decides he's going to reach out to the young men at the school.
Right.
And it was all boys, too.
Right.
I'm going to teach you baseball.
Okay.
And that's how we're going to learn discipline and patience and responsibility and all this other shit. So he's literally teaches Satchel Paige how to pitch for 5 years. All right. Satchel Paige, when he finally gets out of there, right before, I think he just turned, again, there's, if I say an age, I'm lying because no one knows.
Right.
Okay. But around age 18, he gets out of the place.
And this motherfucker's probably like 24. 24 with no facial hair. They don't even know what he is. He's 18. That's 24 with no facial hair.
Like that kid from the Little League World Series that was like 30 from the Dominican Republic or something.
Built like a fucking uncle. Just built like a goddamn man.
Dude, it was, I'm going to, it's absolutely wild. Don't worry about it if you can't do it right now, Coons, but I was going to say, if you could pull up a picture of Satchel Paige here, just, I want to show Ty what the dude looks like, because it's pretty funny. He looks like he's a funny guy, and he is. Some of his quotes.
36. Yeah. I thought he was 18.
Well, he gets out of there, and the way that he remarked on his time spent with you know, with the Reverend over at Mount Meigs Reform School was, he goes, I traded in 5 years of freedom to learn how to pitch. So he recognized that that's what it was, you know, that's what he was getting himself into.
Now, you got a better picture of him than that? He looked, because he looks like a little bit like Reggie Miller in,
there's a
Ray
little
Allen.
There's a little Chappelle to him in a couple of photos, if we can
little
find out.
Little Mos Def. He looks like Mos Def a little bit. Little Tyler Creator. Little Mos Def.
That's all. Well, not for now, because we try to do, they have made a movie about his life. They've made a couple of movies about it. But Delroy Lindo played him in the one movie.
All right.
But
Delroy, okay. Yes. I know that brother. Yeah.
He's got one of the most fun names ever to say.
He does.
But so we do a segment at the very end where the Kahuna casts a movie about the guy's life. So start thinking about it now if you can, bud.
All right.
So get this one. All right. Satchel knew the times that he was enduring were tough, but he learned a lot of lessons while he was over at Mount Meigs. He later credited the school and the teachers there with making a man out of him. So he gets out of this boarding reform school, which literally is just juvenile hall. That's really what it was, man. There's no, they pretend, oh, it's a school. It's like, nah, dude, these, this was rough going.
Yeah.
So gets out of the school just shy of 18, joins up with his brother, and he starts playing in the Negro Leagues for the Mobile Tigers. Okay. So Mobile, Alabama. You ever been to Mobile?
No.
That's, it's a wild town, dude.
No.
It is New Orleans light to a degree.
Is it really? Yeah, I've never been in New Orleans, so I really don't have any kind of, you know, reference point, but I haven't been in either, but it's a little wild town and a little different. Huh?
I had a good time, man. It was it was one of my last, I've done it since, but the first time I was there, it was, we did coming from Jacksonville, we went to Pensacola.
Yeah.
Did a gig in Pensacola, which is Pensacola is a gas station with a nice view. That's literally all that town is.
That's all. Right.
Navy base. That's why, you know, I didn't feel uncomfortable there, but nobody, there's not a great nightlife unless it's spring break.
Okay.
Then from Pensacola, we drove, I guess it was like an hour and a half into Mobile. And then Mobile's got like, there's a little bit of that. There's a New Orleans vibe to it. You know what I mean? Some of the way, because there were French people down there and everything too, so there's a little Cajun culture to it.
Mm-hmm.
The music's good, the food's good, and then the comedy club was, I think, since closed.
Really?
I don't know.
Oh, that sucks.
It was like a dungeon type vibe we were in, man. It was a little bit weird, but Mobile's a wild town, and the people who are from Mobile die hard. They have like Jersey pride almost. It's weird.
Okay.
So it was, so if you had the Mobile Tigers, which is what Satchel and his brother were playing for, you would go out and cheer for the hometown team.
Right.
Right. So, and of course, not for nothing. Let's be honest here. There's a little bit of racism going on at the times.
Oh, just a touch of it, right? Just a touch of it. It was subtle.
Just a little bit.
Oh, yeah. There was fights that would break out and stuff like that.
Oh, absolutely.
The quality of life we're going to get into in a second for a professional athlete in the Negro Leagues it's ridiculous. So get this one, though. This is why Satchel was amazing, because you can't deny him. This story, there's only one other story I've ever heard in baseball that comes close to this one. And I'll say that one in a second. But so Satchel's pitching in a game. And Negro Leagues didn't go nine innings. They went, I think it was six. So he's sitting there. He's pitching the game, and he was a starting pitcher when he was with the Negro Leagues. And he's lights out. The dude can locate anything. There's people are whiffing left and right. So he gets into, I believe it's the final out of a game that he can now sit as the winner of the game.
Right.
It's a 1-0 lead.
Right.
Okay, so he's pitching a shutout. And his outfielders make three consecutive errors on like fly balls that should have been caught kind of a thing. So he gets so pissed off, he starts kicking the dirt up on the mound. It's almost like a cartoon, like a Yosemite Sam kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's he's kicking all this dust up, going nuts, and the crowd starts booing him. All right. And because they're like, oh, look at this guy. He's an asshole. He's showing up his teammates and everything. So Satchel realizes that he has to do damage control now. So the crowd's booing him. He calls the whole team in to huddle on the mound with him, takes his outfielders, tells them to sit down in the infield. So pulls in the that was the worst feeling playing baseball, was if they would put on a shift because they knew that I could hit the ball, but it would always be like, you know, a shallow fly ball to left field. So they would figure me out. So there's nothing worse than we just shift and you just, oh, God damn it.
Yeah.
So not, this ain't a shift. This is everybody in the outfield come in and then sit on your ass. Satchel's in charge now.
Right.
Okay. And I swear to God, on the next three pitches, 1-2-3 strikes the guy out, wins the game.
Wow.
With his entire outfield sitting on the second baseline.
Wow.
So he's pretty nuts, man. The legend is starting. The crowd's going nuts for this. Newspapers start reporting on him. This was wild, too. I wish they would make jerseys, because you were talking about, you know, getting like stuff printed up and everything.
Absolutely.
I wish they would make jerseys for the old school, the Negro League teams. Because
I think they do.
I've seen a couple, but some of the names were hilarious that I was seeing. Like, there's like some of them are names that should be used in modern sports right now. And then other names were like, dude, that's these guys are what? It sounds like a hipster thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So get this one. One of the most famous teams was the Bacharach Giants.
The Bacharach Giants?
The Bacharach Giants. Okay. And Satchel, I believe he played for them at one point. But guess where they were originally based out of?
Where?
Atlantic City.
Really?
Yep. The Jersey tie-in, brother.
Isn't that a game? That's a game. That's a Bacharach.
Yeah, I think so. I always think Burt Bacharach, but that's just because of Austin Powers.
Right. No, but I think Bacharach is like a game. It's not backgammon, but isn't Bacharach?
I believe you're right. Coons, if you want to Google that, just to confirm.
Look that up, Coona.
While he's doing that, Bacharach is B-A-C-H, just to let you know.
B-A-C-H.
But other names that they had the Black Colonels. The most famous team, actually, was the New York Black Yankees.
York Black Yankees. I like that.
Dude, they were fucking legit, man. They won, I believe, at least two or three championships for the league.
Yeah, see? So
they were good. There was the Homestead Grays.
The Homestead Grays.
This one is Kahuna's favorite, I'm sure. The Kahuna, would you like to play for the Chattanooga Choo-Choos?
The Chattanooga Choo-Choos.
I hate you for that one.
You know what? For some reason, I think I've seen there's got to be a website or something that has them, that has this like apparel somewhere, hats or whatever.
I would buy this in a heartbeat. It's like the names are fucking great. I'm tied for, because the Chattanooga Choo Choos is my favorite in terms of just something to laugh at. But
shut up.
The Pittsburgh Crawfords.
The Pittsburgh Crawfords.
Yeah, like I don't know what.
That
how the name
curmudgeon-y.
Yeah, that's like, oh wow, is that the commissioner of the league or something?
That's somebody that owned a goddamn team. They're like, I own these boys, I own this team. We're the Crawfords, goddammit. We're from Pittsburgh.
We require a mustache and you must stroke it during the games.
Mr. Crawford, can we be something else? I thought of a real cool name. Nobody thought you would think of a name.
We're the goddamn Crawfords.
Who told you to think?
Can we be the Steelers?
Who told you to think? Can we be the Pittsburgh Steelers? God damn it, that's stupid. We're the Crawfords.
And this one confused me. I thought I was getting lied to here. The best team in Atlanta for the Negro Leagues was the Atlanta Black Crackers.
Damn, the Black Crackers.
The Black Crackers.
That's, was the team all black?
That's, yeah. Well, it had to be for...
See how white folks couldn't let them live? They're like, nah, fuck that. We go put a... We go... Black Crackers. We're going to represent somehow.
That way everyone can be offended.
That's some crazy shit, the Black Crackers.
It was, because that's one of the ones that if they did make a jersey for, there would be some, people would take a second look at you real quick if you wore that jersey.
It'd be some, it's all offensive.
That's
it's all, every jersey printed from the Chattanooga to the Black Crackers, all that shit. If that shit, it's needle to thread, that shit, somebody's getting sued. I don't know if all of that stuff is printed up, but that's some wild shit.
It was, and it was crazy. And now, not for nothing, too, is that the Negro Leagues were very popular. People would go, I said it had like a Globetrotter vibe to it.
Yeah.
But it was almost, there's this weird part where towards the end of it, before Jackie Robinson comes into play, where they start realizing, they're like, dude, some of these guys are the best players in all of baseball, and we're not letting them play in the major leagues.
In
like
the major leagues. And
we're fucking up.
And then, you know what, KP? I hate to put a little rain on your parade. They said, we're going to make some money off these motherfuckers. They're like, fuck the talent. Like, I know motherfuckers are tired of losing, but they're also tired of not filling up stadiums, selling peanuts and popcorn, because the song, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. You got, you know, overstock of Cracker Jacks and shit. You gotta call for the... For the Negro Crackers. What was that name?
Kahuna brought it up. See, you guys thought I'm not making it up.
What is it? The Atlanta Black Crackers. The ABCs. God damn it. We want the ABCs, god damn it.
Dude, so this is this That's is how crazy. Popular Satchel was, by the way.
Once Satchel. He,
once he threw that that infamous three-pitch strikeout when he pulled his outfielders in,
yes,
the newspapers were cut like nonstop coverage, man.
Oh, they fucks with him now.
So yeah, and now here's the wildest part: is because there's not like a free agency structure quite yet. His contract starts getting passed around all the time. So it got to the point where I'm not making this up. You could rent him for the day. That if you had, you're like, oh, dude. We got a big fucking
God damn,
dude. We got a big game coming up. Like, I'm a Yankees fan. So if we had, we're like, dude, we're in a pennant race right now with Tampa Bay, and we need to win tonight.
Yeah,
can you see if Satchel Paige is available? And then for the right dollar amount, Satchel Paige would show up and pitch your game for you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, dude. It happened all the time with him. So when you try to,
so you can cheat
essentially. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. You see this? Cheating right there in the open. They just rented Satchel Paige for the day.
So you're getting the best pitcher, pretty much in baseball. You're getting the best pitcher in baseball. He's like a gun for hire, dude. It's really what he's like, a mercenary.
Enterprise rent a player.
Yeah, word. And not for nothing, too. He's such a name that even if you, let's say it wasn't a big playoff game.
Right.
Let's say you are struggling to pull fans in, like you said, to get the attendance up.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to say, pull hey, him. Dude, we're bringing Satchel Paige in for the weekend. All of a sudden, ticket sales go up.
Hell yeah.
So the dude was a draw, man. He's
selling
tickets.
Three times more hot dogs and shit. Seriously, man. It comes down to that. That's fucking dope.
He was literally, there was nobody else that was. There's other famous players that were in the league with him, but he is like essentially the Babe Ruth of everything.
Of the Negro League, exactly. Satchel Paige.
Yeah. There's actually a very weird Babe Ruth story that I hesitate whether or not even to bring it up because we can't confirm that it's true.
Okay.
But there was a whole weird story where the two of them met and they were like good buddies or something. And then it was later revealed to potentially have been a hoax the whole time.
Probably.
That they were buddies or that they met?
That they met.
They met.
That there was no, and it was weird because it was a teammate of his that wound up explaining it. But the whole thing gets weird. Eh. However, let's settle on what we do actually know, which is this guy's a fucking beast on the mound. Okay? You can't touch him. Paige actually gets pulled into his first. He's making, by the way, about $500 a month. Okay? Which
at that time, it's pretty damn. Isn't that bad?
It's still, but again, they're it's not
less
bad.
It's less than the white man.
Absolutely.
It's much less. Yeah.
So in the major leagues, guys are starting to make good money and making careers off of this because you got to pay them enough to not go back to their day job. Because remember when it started off, it was be like a guy was a, literally that's how the Packers got their name in football, was because they all worked at the, you know, they were all meat packers.
Meat packers.
And the Steelers were steel workers.
And they stole them.
Yeah. And the Jets were airplanes. So that's pretty much how it all worked.
Look at KP with the fucking history. This is a prepared damn podcast. I love this shit.
KP is Irish for always prepared.
Jesus Christmas. You see this? I was meant to do this podcast with him today.
Buddy, I'm happy you're here, man.
I'm happy to be here.
We got this one made me laugh, too, because it was he's making, like you said, it's $500 a month, which sounds decent, but compared to the players in the Major League Baseball Association or whatever, and then also for the Times, they're doing what they can to keep the guy down. That's pretty much the
They were making $18,000 a month, Kahuna.
That's probably not wrong.
Don't want to get the numbers out. They were making $18,000 a month, and Satchel was getting $5,000.
And Satchel's better than all of them. That's the sad part, dude.
Yeah. It's fucked up, Satchel.
So and then if you bring it up, it's like, well, on to the next team.
Dude, when you try to track down what teams he played for, because of that renting out scenario, he played for almost every team.
Yeah. Every team
in
the needed
Euro
him.
Yeah, exactly. Or just in general?
Well, we're going to get into what he winds up breaking into later, because as we know, as we covered in the very beginning of this podcast, and everybody should know, Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier for the National League. He went up playing for the Dodgers, okay? Weird little caveat here. I'm happy because no matter what, we were going to cover this topic to begin with. But I'm very happy because Ty is the pride of Montclair, New Jersey.
Oh, shit.
You know that. So he's got one of my, that's another thing. Me and him used to do gigs together at Tierney's.
Yeah.
And you always had one of my favorites, which was, I'm from Montclair and my mom's from Montclair. So she used to clap anytime you said that.
Yeah.
And then you would always follow it up like, yeah, my wife thinks I'm taking out the garbage right now.
Yeah.
Because you can walk down the street and go do time.
Love them local shows, huh?
But so the pride of Montclair is in studio with us too. And like we said, the National League color barrier was broken by Jackie Robinson to the Dodgers.
Yes.
The American League color barrier was broken by Larry Doby from Montclair, New Jersey.
Larry Doby.
Mm-hmm.
I know Larry Doby.
You know of him or you actually?
I know Larry Doby.
No shit.
No, I'm fucking with you.
I believe it, dude. He's got a field. He's got a field. I think it's in South Orange named after him.
I think he does.
And I did a report on him in fourth grade for famous people from New Jersey. Because Jersey's funny. If you're good, we want to claim you.
Larry Doby.
So he's technically born in South Carolina, but then he grew up in, I think it was Patterson. And he played at that, what was the field? The Hinchcliffe Field. So he's one of like the...
Hinchcliffe.
Yeah. He was a fucking star, man. Actually, Cahoon's just brought it up. That is the field, I believe.
Larry Doby.
So they're... Well, this is...
Hinchcliffe.
That's Hinchcliffe.
Yeah, that was literally like the Negro Leagues World Series was played there, I believe.
Okay, that's in Patterson, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. They're trying to revitalize
it now. I've
been
there years ago. They have a track that goes around. It's an old stadium.
Yeah, they can't tear it down. It's a landmark now.
Yeah.
Well, because Jersey's history tied in with... the Negro Leagues is pretty fucking cool because you had the Newark Bears too. That was and then that one team I said, the Bacharach Giants were formed out of Atlantic City.
Yeah.
But there's some wild shit that goes on. So as they're trying to rebuild all that, that's going to be cool, like to go visit and everything.
Right.
And, unfortunately, that's going to drive up rent too for everybody. So sorry about that.
Yeah. See, that's how they do it. Sorry though.
At least you're sorry.
That, it's sorry. There's going to be a Starbucks over here and a Whole Foods. Maybe a Trader Joe's.
Oh, Trader Joe's, it's over, man. Nice. That's
it'd be nice over here, man.
Well, in his first big game, I should say, we're starting to get to the bigger teams now. In Satchel Paige's first big game for the team name is the Black Barons, Paige is nervous as hell. Big crowd, fucking, they're whooping, they're going crazy here. Paige inadvertently hits the batter that he's facing on the wrist. And the guy was like a big, mean motherfucker, all right?
Mm.
And he charges the mound.
Yep.
So now in order to try to settle this down, Paige, by the way, we saw photos of him. Not a big, intimidating guy.
Yeah.
There's like, they always say one of the hardest outs, or one of the hardest pitchers to face in baseball was Greg Maddux, who looks like a fucking little dweeb. He was like 5'4", looked like a Point Dexter.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when you're a pitcher, if you can manipulate the ball, especially the way that Satchel Paige could, and we're going to get to this in a minute, he actually invents something that almost every pitcher does now. We all mimic Satchel Paige.
Okay.
But I don't. I like how I just added myself as a pitcher.
I was listening.
I was going to point that out.
I was like, KP pitches too? Yeah. God damn.
Yeah, it's well, I pitched once in, I believe it was eighth grade. Oh. And Nobody could hit me. It's because I beamed two batters in a row and got taken out of the game.
Damn.
I was not good. Let's
be clear. The parents were upset. Get him out of there.
So, but I do know the feeling. No one ever charged the mound at me because I'm built like a fire hydrant. I'm tough to take down. So Paige throws the ball, hits this dude on the wrist, and this big—I believe it was the catcher for the other team, which is usually like your tough guy.
Mm.
He charges the mound, and Paige, because he's a slight fella, decides he's going to run towards the dugout because that's where all my buddies are. They're going to back me up, right? And the batter ain't having it. He takes the bat and then throws the bat at him and hits him on the hip.
Mm.
Okay, and then just it's a riot almost ensues here on the field. These guys are fighting each other. The fans are getting into it. It's like
wow.
It was like Malice at the Palace.
Wow.
So, but again, you would always want Satchel Paige around because if you could rent him out to other teams, you get the attendance spike we talked about.
Right.
So he's worth whatever occasional little trouble he gets into.
Mm-hmm.
He realizes this. Dude starts showing up late on his own start days.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, hey guys, what's going on? As they're doing the announcements for, and today's pitcher, like Paige would literally be like putting a cigarette out and like getting ready to go. He was a rock star, man.
After a while, I mean, the way you're being treated, you might as well just start like, it loses its value after a while, I guess to him. You know what I mean? Like that's something, I'm sure that's a sport that he loved. But then once they started to monetize off of that and playing for every fucking team.
Oh, he realized, he goes, I'm going to take care of my family,
yeah.
And I'm going to take care of myself,
yeah.
And I'm not going to do anything more than that. Because when you're, dude, how many times have we seen it in comedy where someone is just so funny on stage, mm-hmm. but a total fuck up in every other aspect of their life?
Oh, yeah.
There's one guy I know, he's a pretty funny dude, man, but he's such a fuck up. He does a podcast with his dad.
Yeah, God bless him.
That's...
That
one hit close to home.
But I'm sure he has a good heart. KP, this is a well put together podcast. This makes me want to take notes and get my shit together. This guy has no. Do you always do sports and like? Are you doing like Satchel Paige for Black History Month, and me? Is this? Are you always covering black?
We did
sports.
No, we did because I don't know when this one's going to come out. To be honest, because we're in the pre-record station right now. So what's going to happen is Well, my father, he wanted to be in studio for this one.
Yeah,
but we couldn't put it up, and we had to bail on you last week.
Right.
So what we're doing is we're stockpiling a bunch of them because Luna's got a couple. He's got to edit for me still.
All right, cool.
Just the one. I'll tell you about it later.
Yeah.
But no, it's always history that we do. Okay. And we try to find like inner. And Satchel Paige is, especially when we covered the last two weird caveats of his career we're about to get to. The fact that he's not the most famous baseball player in the world is the reason he's a loser. So check this one out, dude. He's chasing the money. He's done not really a steady income, but he's getting, you know, kind of hooked up here.
Right.
He settles down, puts together season after season of winning records. Okay. And like we said, he's getting rented out all the time too.
Right.
Awkward moment for baseball because there's the Negro Leagues and then there's Major League Baseball right now. Right. And the two haven't quite broken in yet.
So he was still in a Negro League being rented for Major League Baseball.
No, he couldn't play in the majors.
He couldn't play in the majors yet. So he still had that barrier. All the others.
So, like, literally that whole weird list of team names that I had.
Right.
So
that's who he was. He was being slutted out to that to that league.
Okay. Well, here's an awkward moment for baseball, by the way.
There we go.
You want to talk about, well, there's the major leagues and then there's the Negro Leagues. And in 1929, Satchel Paige strikes out 17 batters in one game.
Damn.
17. That's mind-blowing right now. Damn. We go nuts if
17
they have...
17?
Yeah.
In one game?
In one game. So, damn. Now, the major league record at the time, the major league record, you know, was 16.
Wow.
So the record just got set by a guy down in the Negro Leagues. And then, no big deal, right? Whatever, blah, blah, blah. I
mean, oh, that's a huge deal, no, KP.
No real big deal here. You know, we're just going to ignore that, bury that. So until 2 days later, fucking Satchel Paige beats his own record, strikes out 18 in the next game.
Wow.
He's like, that ain't shit.
That ain't shit.
Yeah. Which, by the way, in a full Major League Baseball game, you face 27 batters. So this was... And I couldn't figure it out. I think they only did like six innings or something like that. So the fact is he pretty much mowed down the entire other team.
Yeah, that's the whole, you went through the whole team. Yeah. If you play less innings and you, yeah, damn, that's a quiet bus ride home for that team. Holy shit.
But no one can talk shit because
the only person making noise is the bus driver. He's whistling like, whew, it's uncomfortable in here. You guys stink.
So Paige actually takes his career international at this point. Winds up over in Cuba for a little bit. He's playing for, this was a clever team name, by the way, because you know a lot of team names.
Cuba!
Their team name was the Santa Clara Cubans.
The Santa Clara Cubans.
Yeah, so we're just like we're the New Jersey Americans.
Okay, God bless him.
But there's the language barrier, the homesickness. Keep in mind, this is just a kid from the South, man. When he was playing on certain teams, there was a team in Baltimore he played for, that they ostracized him. They made him feel like a dumb backwoods hick because he wasn't a cool city kid.
Of course.
So,
of course. That's what Northerners do.
We are weird that way.
Yeah.
I love
it. This country-ass boy, he fast and all that shit. He could throw a goddamn ball, but he's stupid as hell. Look at his slow ass. Put him on the mound again.
You can always tell, too, because it's the way that someone makes a face if you say whether or not they've eaten squirrel before. That there's like,
oh,
there's people like, dude, yeah, we eat squirrel all the time.
We eat squirrel all the time. I'm like, get the fuck out of here, goddamn squirrel. That's when you go, really? Wow. And then, you know, as soon as they leave, you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? Eat the fucking squirrel. What the
fuck? And then if you're curious, you go to Whole Foods and find it. Do you guys have squirrel?
You guys got squirrel in the back or some shit? Then they just escort you out of Whole Foods. They're like, if you don't get the hell out of our store, sir, squirrel in the back.
But our boy is still the gun for hire, man. In 1930, he winds up coming back into the leagues. He's playing for organizations in Baltimore, Houston, Nashville. And he said one thing that killed him. This kind of breaks your heart. The things that hurt him the most when he was playing in the Negro Leagues is if they were playing in a town that had a pro team and he could see the stadium.
Mm.
He's like, so that's where I should be because I'm the best and they're not letting me in.
Mm.
So it's fucked up. Paige's pitching remains brilliant, though, and he records the first ever no-hitter in the Negro Leagues against the famed New York Black Yankees.
Now, at this time, like, what is, like, the popularity, like, I guess ratio between, like, the two leagues where it's, like, like you, it's already established that the Negro Leagues are essentially popular because just the players are beasts. But like,
oh, yeah.
How is baseball at this time also?
Baseball is selling tickets, man. Selling tickets. Yeah, that is, I would say the way football's popular now is how baseball used to be.
Oh, okay.
So baseball's still very popular. I love it. It's again.
Oh, yeah.
But it gets wild to try. So imagine if the XFL had all the best players, but they weren't allowed to play in the NFL. That's kind of how I'm trying to think of it that way. So there we go. So they go on this wild friggin' tour. They start doing a barnstorming tour. And Satchel's one of the main attractions where we're going to go all around the country and play these exhibition games. So you can't play in regular season games against white players and stuff like that, but you can go up against them in exhibition games. And so now you're getting this – it's almost like a carnival of baseball. It's pretty fucking cool. But it increases the popularity. And if you have Satchel Paige, you're going to make some money on it. So that's a safe investment, man.
He's a draw.
So in 1942, Paige pitched in – I thought this was cool too. It was not current Yankee Stadium, obviously, but old Yankee Stadium. Mm-hmm. Hosted the 1942 Negro World Series, and then Paige pitched in that game and was part of the winning team. So a teammate of Paige's at this time, like we said, none other than New Jersey legend, Montclair royalty, baseball Hall of Famer, and friend of Ty Rainey, Larry Doby.
I don't know Larry Doby, for the record. I'm sorry. I don't want to put that out there.
If you did, I would be like, man, do you think he'll do the show?
His family sitting around somewhere like, who the fuck is Ty Rainey? You know the Rainey?
Well, eventually, finally, Jackie Robinson, like we said, breaks the color barrier, and it actually nearly kills Satchel.
You see that?
That's...
You know why? Because Satchel sound like he had more of a streak in him than Jackie.
I would agree.
Satchel probably wasn't complying for shit.
Nope, he was. And this actually, it winds up being a thing where he said it killed him because it was like, dude, I'm the star here. And
yeah.
You're gonna go. It's I'm trying to think of a good comparison for it, but. Jackie Robinson was amazing. Don't get me wrong.
He was dope.
Yeah, the marquee, the star of the movie, if you will, is Satchel Paige.
Yeah.
And you're going to go for the best supporting actor instead. So now he winds up realizing later on, after he saw how it all got rolled out, they sent Jackie Robinson to the minor leagues at first. Satchel Paige, like you said, he got a streak to him. No way. I'm not fucking with that. I'm not going.
Right.
You can't send me to the minor leagues when I'm better than the major leaguers.
Right, right, right.
So he would have refused to have gone and seen it as an insult.
Mm-hmm.
So instead it winds up being good. So Jackie Robinson breaks in. Larry Doby breaks in, I think, a couple days after, which Larry Doby almost should be an American loser because he doesn't get heralded quite the same.
Mm.
And this should happen within like 96 hours of each other.
Larry Doby. Wow.
But here we go on. It was pretty wild. It's kind of sad because you realize that now that, you know, he didn't break into the major leagues, it's sad. He's not going to get a shot at the big show. I mean, the guy was averaging 20 starts a month. Most people have, if you win 20 games in a baseball season nowadays, that's incredible. Like, as a pitcher.
Goddamn, KP. You see how the odds are stacked against us, KP.
It's dude, there's no
you see
great,
that shit?
It's blaringly obvious. Now, here's the wildest part. He's not going to get a chance here.
He's wilder than that.
He's out of his prime, too, man. He's over 40 years old now.
Yeah.
Debating on when you think he was, you know, born.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just have to know when to walk away and accept the fact that you're not going to get your shot.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that on July 8th, 1948, Satchel Paige debuts in the major leagues.
Here we go.
At age 42.
Hell yeah. 42. Black don't crack. He's out that motherfucker. He's out that bitch.
Age 42, this is the record. He's the world's oldest major league rookie.
Wow.
Okay. Debuts for the Cleveland Indians. Okay. Paige displays this, again, his go-to, if you will, his ability to locate on pitches. And now just to fuck with people, this is how good he was, dude. Did you ever play baseball?
Yes.
A little bit.
In eighth grade. During gym.
That's it. So the traditional motion for a pitcher is that over the top.
Right? Yes.
And then there's other guys that can do that sidewinder shit.
Yeah.
So during the same at bat, Satchel Paige would fuck with batters and just change up from sidewinder to over the top. And still locate.
Yeah.
Like there was a quote by one of the, it was done as a joke, but it was, I think it was one of the Chicago sports, the baseball announcers goes, well, his pitches aren't quite legal and they're not quite illegal.
No, oh,
so,
jeez. just because he was doing the pitching over the top.
Because we've all I think we all know what this is, but it's what's known as a hesitation pitch. So in baseball, if you're a fastball guy and you want to trick a guy with a changeup, it's because the speed of the ball is going to change.
Yeah,
and that's why you'll get a guy to swing before the ball's even near the plate.
Right.
So what Satchel Paige is credited with is creating and inventing. He's doing the sidewinder shit. He's doing the overtop shit, and now he's also adding like a little hesitation move. So he's like, if I flick my wrist out a little bit when I'm bringing it out, I can get the guy to swing before I've even let go of the ball.
Yeah.
And people were like, he's cheating. But it was known as the hesitation pitch.
That's amazing. See?
Well, they tried to call it a balk, which means that the batter should get to go to first base automatically.
Why?
If it looks like it's a pickoff move, and then you've they don't want to do like a little kid thing.
But this is the thing. It's strategy.
Yes.
He's still releasing the ball.
He's not releasing two balls.
He's releasing one ball. Even if he does like a little cha cha before he throws the ball, that's just a strategy. If that distracts you, then get better batters. Get batters on coke.
Yes.
That's gonna pay attention to the ball.
Well, there's a reason they all started doing coke back.
Yeah, speed and shit back in the day. But you know, they took that away now. Now it's it's GNC enhanced shit.
It's not as fun.
Now it's all legal shit. It's not just, you don't snort it, you drink it.
Yeah, that is the wild part. When I was in the Navy, I got deployed to Dubai, and it was wild to walk around a GNC in Dubai and just be like, this is everything Jose Canseco had to testify over is available for sale.
Yeah, they don't give a fuck. Yeah.
But because he's got the hesitation pitch, and you're right, they try to hit him up. They're like, dude, this is a trick.
This is a trick.
You're cheating.
And
you're
it's goddamn black magic.
Oh, dude, that would have been a great fucking nickname for him on the mound.
Black magic. Yeah, they would have got his ass. They would have got him.
I found this dope photo of Paige and Jackie Robinson on the Wikipedia page.
That one is cool, man.
That's them right there?
That's the two of them.
So Satchel Paige is significantly taller than Jackie Robinson, right?
Yeah, it's looking like
so that. You picture Satchel Paige saying, hell no, I ain't doing that shit. And guess what? He ain't doing that shit. So they moved on to Jackie Robinson because he was more compliant. He said, Jackie Robinson was like, you know what? I'll consider it. And then he did it. You know what I mean? So now he's going to take all the shine. You know what I'm saying? And there's no discredit to Jackie Robinson. No doubt for breaking
the
barrier.
His story is still like
and
Jesus,
Satchel
man.
Paige. Yeah. That's absolutely. Both their stories are great. But yeah, it kind of sucks that Satchel Paige's story is kind of overshadowed. You know what? And it might be overshadowed, on somebody ain't like his motherfucking ass. Just because he probably disagreed with some shit.
If you're showing up late, you're not getting employee of the month.
Yeah, not even that. But I'm sure there's some bullshit that led up to that you don't see. Like, there's reasons why I stole from my first job ever. You know what I mean? I'm not a goddamn thief. I think, sometimes you feel that sometimes, you have it coming. I mean, I don't want to put it that way, but as humans, sometimes we try to write the universe in our own way, whether it be taking something, physically stealing something, or acting in a certain way. So, you could sleep at night. You know what I mean? A lot of times, it's a lot of these decisions that he probably made was really heavy on his integrity and who he was in the time of the era it was. He was already being slutted out to all the goddamn teams, and he was probably really bitter about that shit.
Yeah, he didn't want a manual labor job or whatever, other than that. So if he can get away with playing baseball, man, fucking do it.
Hell yeah. But then they're trying to push him to a little bit more type bullshit, and he already should be getting paid this, and you're still asking him to do some other bullshit? Yeah, fuck that. Get Jack. Jackie do that bullshit. Fuck that. And he put his cigarette out on somebody's carpet. Fuck that shit. And he walked right out. And he went to go play for two teams that afternoon. So that, man. But this is fucking dope. This is a dope ass podcast, KP.
I appreciate it. It's been long overdue to have you on too. So thank you.
Thank you for having me.
That's so far.
It is.
This episode. Yeah,
well, my dad wanted to be here. That's the one thing that he's pissed about. I talked to him on the way down because this is like he's into the topic too, man.
Yeah.
Get this one. This other weird shit, because we are wrapping up, man.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's all good. It's all good.
But it was pretty wild. He finally gets up to the big show, mm-hmm. and he's the world's oldest major league rookie. He actually gets votes for Rookie of the Year that year.
Dope.
Imagine having 20 years of experience and still being called a rookie.
Yeah.
But
that's the story. That's my comedy career. That's go to the city.
This young upstart.
They don't know who the fuck I am.
Dude, they really do.
They don't know who I am. TV credit and all. They'd be like, who are you? Ty Rainey. You just started?
Yeah, yeah. Meanwhile, people don't know this because you're a humble fucking dude.
No, I'm just quiet.
Ty was on Heart of the City, Kevin Hart's show.
Really?
Yeah, that's... But then he goes into New York, and they're like, oh, I'm from Jersey, man. It'll be like, oh, do they do comedy in New Jersey?
They have a sense of humor.
Yeah. I let them treat me like I just started 2 weeks ago. I remember a barker was telling me how my open mic works. I sat there patiently and listened to her. I was like, really? She was like, so I come inside my name? She's like, yeah, you come in. I was like, wow, this is crazy. So anybody can walk in?
This wasn't at a bar in Greenwich Village.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Yes, it was.
That poor girl might have been, she might have been a guest on this show once.
God bless her, man. I just listened to her patiently. I was like, yeah, you're just doing your job, man. I was like, you don't know. I don't know. Man, I'm no fucking body. I'm just asking questions about who's booking what. She went to the whole, well, this is what you have to do. This is how open mic works. I was like, oh, please explain, young lady.
I'm not making this up. I once walked from, I think I was at Broadway, and I had to get to New York Comedy Club.
Yeah.
And I'm so dumb in the city. I didn't know what I was doing, so I walked. And I remember walking through Times Square, and a guy comes up to me, and because you know how there's the merchants of Times Square.
Oh, yeah.
And a guy comes up and goes, hey, man, buy my comedy album. Buy my comedy album. And I was like, oh, yeah. Dude, you're a comic? And he goes, yeah, man, I'm a comic. I was like, oh, cool. Have I seen you anywhere before? Do I know you?
Yeah.
I haven't revealed that I do comedy as well yet. And the guy's sitting there, and he goes, yeah, man, I'm blowing up right now. I'm hitting all over the city. He goes, you want to buy this album? Trust me, man. And I said, and I was like, oh, that's great. I was like, dude, I'm not going to buy your album, but if you want, like, can I, you know, let's network or something if you ever want to do shows out in Jersey. And he goes, you're a comic? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, this guy ain't got no money, and just walks away from me.
Yeah. That's that New York hustle shit. Like, I'm wasting my fucking breath.
He was done with me, dude.
Yeah. He's like, dude, ain't got no money.
So, not for nothing, to wrap up here on our boy Satchel, he is getting votes for Rookie of the Year, 20 years playing experience, like you said, just like New York comedy.
Yeah.
And Page goes on to become the first black pitcher to make the American League All-Star team.
Nice.
All right. Named to the team by baseball legend and possibly, I would say he's one of the greatest managers in baseball history, but definitely in Yankee history, Casey Stengel. So this guy is saying Satchel Paige is the goods. Oh yeah, I've also managed Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig and Mickey. Yeah, I don't think he actually managed Mickey Mantle, but the fact that he had Murderer's Row, he's like, oh, and this guy's the best pitcher I've ever seen. So he goes on to do that one, man. Paige bounces around from team to team, just like always, right? Mm-hmm. But he was working as a starter, sometimes a reliever. You'd bring him in for a couple innings here or there, whatever. But he was money wherever he went.
Yeah, because he's good.
Mm-hmm. And you could buy out his contract, like they said. So he actually winds up sometimes he gets stuck in the minor leagues just because there's no room for him on a roster at the time.
Wow.
Other times he actually has to go back to that like barnstorming Globetrotter thing to do these exhibition games.
The Chitlin Circuit. Just say what it is. It's the fucking... It's the baseball Chitlin Circuit. That's what that shit is. It's fucked up, Satchel.
Well, dude, in these exhibition games, this is that story I was kind of hesitant to tell. One of his teammates, who I can't remember the guy's name, was Bud something or whatever, but he played with him on a couple of the Negro League teams and then played with him in the majors.
Mm.
And he's telling a story for this documentary on baseball. And he tells the story of Satchel Paige at Yankee, I think it was at Yankee Stadium or maybe the old Polo Grounds.
Mm.
And it's him and Babe Ruth, and Satchel Paige pitches to Babe Ruth. And like Ruth whiffs on like the first two pitches bad.
Yeah.
Right? And then the third one he connects and sends it like 500 feet or something like that.
Right.
And then the two of them are like shaking hands at home plate. Like man, he goes, I can't believe I hit that. He goes, I can't believe you hit that. Like they're just two of them like they're buddies.
Right.
And then that was his teammate telling that for an official documentary on the history of baseball. So you'd want to believe that, but they've not been able to like prove any of it ever actually happened. There's no records of an exhibition game between the two of them, were they ever even in the same stadium at the same time. So it gets what, and not for nothing, they're not known for during this time frame, they're not really great bookkeepers. Mm. You know what I mean? It's not like today where you can Google a stat and find right, it right
they
away.
Weren't. They were just watching that shit in awe.
Yeah. Or you were doing it by yourself with, you know, when you go to, you get the catalog or whatever for baseball, and you sit there and you score the game by yourself.
Mm.
So that's why, like, we don't know, like, what teams he was a part of either, like, when he was
In order for a record to be preserved for that, there's no database like the internet. There has to be a physical copy
physical
of something.
Copies.
Yeah, like a book.
yeah, exactly, an almanac. But he winds up playing, back and forth, going all over a little bit here. He's not quite done making baseball history yet, though, dude. This is why it's never over.
Okay.
For Satchel Paige.
Yeah, Satchel.
In 1965, at age 59.
Here we go.
Satchel Paige is signed to the Kansas City Athletics for one game.
Damn.
Okay. And it wasn't like you know when an athlete will sign a one-day contract
just to retire their name.
This
or their
wasn't
number.
The deal with him. This was a legit, like, hey, you're coming
play.
For a game.
And he's there to play. At 65?
He is in 1965 at age 59. Yeah.
So 65 at 59.
So he's 59 years old. Oldest major leaguer in history.
Rookie
and then oldest player ever in the history of baseball.
Holy shit.
Signs to the Kansas City Athletics for one game. He sits, I'm not making this up, dude. They said he sat in a rocking chair out in the bullpen and just had a nurse bring him coffee in between innings.
So are you serious?
So he was just chilling there like grandpa on a porch, man, just enjoying the day.
Holy shit.
So, watch all these pitches be like, word. I can do that with my eyes closed.
He pitches, and of course, it's obviously it's just ceremony. I mean, he's 59 years old.
Yeah,
you're not actually going to give him anything.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. He retires six batters in a row and pitches four scoreless innings at 59.
Did he really?
It's real, dude.
He stood up there and did that shit?
He got up and he went out at age 59 and pitched four scoreless. I think there was a couple hits in the first inning, like little nothing hits.
Yeah.
That, like, reached on an error kind of, and then mows down the next six in a row.
You know, that is some dangerous shit at 65 to be doing. Because, you know, like, if somebody really did, you know, and a couple of them, like you said, did connect, right?
Yep.
If they connected and that ball came whizzing back at him, at 65, your reflexes are not the same as they were when you were 20 or 40.
Bro, at 32, I'm scared of
this. 32, so. Yeah. That shit would have killed him. Are you kidding me? Oh, man. God bless this dude, man.
He was Satchel Paige,
Satchel
man.
Paige.
Can't
Satchel damn Paige.
There was a cool fact that I was reading, because when we do the show, I like to follow along.
That's why I love you, buddy.
But no, like, truly, like, I love going along with it and reading it, but there was one thing that you skipped over, was that he partnered up with the guy who formed the Harlem Globetrotters to try and do
his
own baseball version of it, but then ended up going to the Harlem Globetrotters and just played with them for a few games.
Who, Satchel?
Satchel played.
He played with every fucking body, Satchel. Damn.
This is what it says. Patchell then joined the real Globetrotters, where he joined their most popular reams, I think that's what it is. The baseball routine. Paige would pitch the basketball to one of the players, who would then bat the ball with his arms.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Dude, it was half athletic prowess, half circus. I mean, it was nuts, dude. It was, I would pay to watch that.
Wow.
Today.
And he died on June 8th.
Yep.
1982. That's my birthday, June 8th.
No shit.
Yeah.
Ty, I knew that. That's why we chose this topic for
Holy
you.
Holy shit.
The tie-ins to Montclair, the birthday.
But it just, like, do you, this is a crazy topic. Just, I mean, I'm sorry. Your podcast, you cover sports stuff on your podcast, obviously.
Mostly history.
Mostly
this
history.
Guy just happens to be both, yeah.
Mostly history. Black history, or is it just February and you're covering mostly black history, or is this coincidence?
He fits in for the loser thing, and then we'll probably, it makes sense to put this out in February.
Look at this shit. You see this shit? This is, this guy died on June 8th. This is the scariest. Now it's getting spooky. I'm gonna ride home in the park with no music or nothing, just kind of staring at nothing like, damn, Satchel.
Well, I forget how old they don't know how old he wound up being, but he was up there, man. He died I think it was North Carolina.
Yeah, it looks like he was 76.
That ain't bad. So, and again, the guy beat the system. So a skill he learned in boys reform school got him to never have to have a day job, man.
Good for him.
That's,
so he could have been older, too, when he was in that rocking chair, too. For all we know, he could have been in his 60s.
He could have been like 80.
Yeah, <they're,
laughs> telling you, he was in that reform school. He was like 36. All the other kids were 19. Like, this guy is good, this tall kid here.
Well, he was finally, I mean, he was kind of, everybody knew about Satchel Paige, and he was amazing. But when he finally left the mound after he got, they did a scripted thing to take him off the mound
right.
in that final game for the Kansas City Athletics.
Right.
And as he's walking off the mound, the place just goes nuts.
Wow.
The crowd is singing to him. They're holding their cigarette lighters up in the air. It turns into like a friggin', you know, a Guns N' Roses concert as the guy's walking off the mound.
You know what? I have a friend whose last name is Page, spelled the same damn way. He fuck around and be related to Satchel Page. I'm about to call his ass on the way home. Like, hey man, where your mama around? What's your mama number? Because your mama probably know. You probably don't know shit about Satchel Page.
I mean, the man had 7 kids.
Jeez.
Seven kids. It was what was it too? He has there's a school named after him in Kansas City. There's a Satchel Paige statue over in Cooperstown. Of course, he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, it's undeniable in that one.
Yeah.
And I think a couple of the teams he was on in the Negro Leagues wound up having 5 Major League Hall of Famers on him too. So it's like, dude, the talent was. There's never been anything like that. No one from the, again, we're talking about the XFL because it debuted yesterday, but
yeah.
There's no one that's coming from the XFL right now that's going to take the NFL by storm in a couple of years, let alone 5. So he did pass away, like you said, in 1982, passed away from a heart attack. He was the star of the Negro Leagues, champion of baseball, game changer, literally invented the hesitation pitch. But I do want to end with just a couple of we've got a couple of good quotes here. Because he's a funny dude, man. The guy had a sense of humor.
Let's hear him.
Don't ever look back. Something might be gaining on you.
Mm.
That's pretty funny.
And, that's some black quote shit. That's some... If you didn't know this guy was black and white, if you didn't know if he was black or white, if you read that shit, he'd be like, yeah, black people be like, yeah, that was a brother. Right there. That motherfucker ain't never lie. That shit will get you, man. The boogeyman will get you. Don't look, motherfucker. Just run. Just run, motherfucker. Just run. It's going to get you if you look. Oh, just fucking run. That's why black people always running, man. We hear some shit. I'd run first. Fuck that. I don't even look.
It was... One of my friends in I was a hull technician in the Navy, and we had to go to welding school.
Uh-huh.
And one of my my good friends there, her name was Michelle Stepp, and she was a just hilarious chick, man. And she comes up to me one day, and she was laughing, and she was on the phone with her brother, and we were out in Illinois, right?
Yeah.
And there was like a not a legit tornado, but like a little, you know what I mean, when you see like a little tornado starting to touch down, kind of a mini one.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's one kicking around. There's like a bunch of like wrappers and you know like other like a piece of paper and stuff like that.
Right.
We're all getting swept up in this thing. And so Michelle Stepp walks. I hope she listens to the show. I miss her. She walks out and she's talking to her brother. And she was so funny because she would get a Southern accent again when she was on the phone with her family. And she's talking and she just goes. She was talking to her brother and she goes, I don't understand why, but every time this little tornado thing, all the white people got to go outside and take pictures of it. She's right.
She's like, these motherfuckers want to be close to this danger. Why? Why are they fascinated with this danger? They better. Run. Shit.
Oh, it made me laugh, dude.
Holy shit.
Another good quote, we kind of mentioned it earlier, but it was when they said, age ain't nothing but a number was one of his other quotes, but it was
that long-winded explanation as to how old are you?
What, Satchel? That was what, age ain't nothing but a number?
Yeah, that was, he said, but I think it was a weird thing where he was quoting Mark Twain. That Mark Twain had a quote about, age can't catch up to you if you don't acknowledge it, kind of a thing.
Nah, he was quoting one of them teachers at that boarding school. Age ain't number a number. You're 32. Now line up, goddammit. He was old as hell. That's what they kept telling him. Age ain't number a number.
That's even worse when you like truly start to think about that.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
We didn't know how old he was. They confused a brother.
It sucks, dude.
Age ain't number a number. Don't worry about them chin hairs. Just keep shaving.
I'm getting to the point, too, where I'm starting to forget how old I am.
Who are you telling? I've been staring at my license for like a good hour doing the math in my head, about to call my son in here.
But yeah, he had the dude was a wild, wild guy, man.
Wow.
And I was kind of blown away. I knew about him, but I was researching. There was another guy, I want to say, you know what? I don't have the guy's name right, so I don't want to say it on the show. Because when we're wrong, by the way, that people love to correct us.
Oh, they do, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they let us know.
Yeah, of course. They love. That's what people love.
Yeah, you stupid motherfuckers.
Dumbasses. Look at this dumb motherfucker. You don't know shit.
And one of my favorite ones was, I hate it. I hate to say it because they really did have me dead to rights on this. The episode we did 2 weeks ago, the guest was my buddy Andy Lawson, who's such a fascinating guy, but you have to keep him on track. And,
okay.
So I kept saying, not for nothing, anytime I needed to redirect the conversation.
Okay.
And
I saw this coming.
And people started saying, like, it's a fun new drinking game on American Loser. Do a shot every time KP says not for nothing.
Oh, wow.
Or people started texting me, not for nothing, not for nothing. I was like, I'm sorry, guys. Okay, geez.
I'm sorry.
Get my shit together.
I kept saying not for nothing.
I was trying to keep the show on track.
It's true. And not for nothing. We do have...
not for nothing. Right back to it. Right back to
it. It wasn't even intentional. I can't pretend. We do have a legit fan base for the show, though.
Nice.
We're at the numbers are good on average for everything, so you're going to get listeners to this. I want to put this out in like the next 2 weeks or so if I can. I got to figure out how many episodes back we're.
Okay.
But do me a favor, please plug anything you can for social media. I encourage you guys to go see Ty. He's one of my favorite. I enjoy talking to you in general, buddy.
Yeah,
and then
man,
also
appreciate
fucking
you.
Funny ass comic on stage, man.
Ah, thank you.
Doing your show this week, right?
Yes. KP Burke is going to be on the Good Vibes Only comedy show in Bloomfield, New Jersey this Wednesday. Yeah, man, you're definitely a comic I enjoy watching. Very funny. I've watched KP over the years, man. So thank you for having me on the podcast.
Don't compliment me.
I gotta compliment this dude. Let him know.
Thank you, buddy.
But yeah, man, I also, you know, do a monthly show that we do. I co-produce with Gordon Baker Bone. It's called the Good Vibes Only Comedy Show. That's
Gordon's
every
been
second
on Loser.
Wednesday.
I forgot.
Yeah, has he?
Gordon came. Yeah. There's an argument over who was the first Black Medal of Honor recipient. So I brought him in. That was a fun.
All right, nice.
That's when Gordon told us he does Black History Month presents.
Yes. Yes.
That's such a good idea, dude.
He's an interesting dude. That's why I fucks with Gordon, yo. That's why I fucks with Gordon, yo. Yeah, we do that together every second Wednesday of the month. And, you know, I also do a podcast, the Ty Rainey Podcast. Every Tuesday morning, you get a fresh podcast. I'm on, you know, all available social media outlets, Spotify, SoundCloud, iTunes, you know, iHeart, all that other goofy shit.
All that shit I need to get on. Goddamn.
All that goofy shit. But this is a great podcast, man. I really do thank you for having me on here. And it's quite professional. You know, KP has taken... He's doing research, Big Kahuna. He's got notes and shit. My podcast
I've been dealing
is
with this
not
dude for 2 years.
Yeah,
he's the real deal.
He definitely is, man. Thank you, because I always aspire to be that professional, but I just not gonna fucking do it. I just know I'm not. I'm just not.
You got a lot. This is my only project, though. You got a million different things you're doing too, dude. So
I got a couple of things, but this the one thing with the podcast, I try to make it as easy as possible. That's why I travel with my shit in my bag. You know, it's just, you know, just
good
hook
move.
It up and just start talking, because I don't know, I write down notes. I try to write down notes, and then I usually forget them somewhere, and I'm like, fuck, I forgot my notes, so I just got to go by whatever I remember and whatever's coming across the, you know, the head. But thank you,
I got to plug it for him because he's too good of a guy, so he's not going to do it.
What am I plugging?
TyRainey.com. TyRainey.com. All right, and then TyRainey, same spelling on Instagram.
On Instagram.
I had to delete Twitter because it was just too depressing.
Twitter can be depressing.
Well, I was getting real sick of my Muppet memes that I kept sharing. Yeah. It was just like, I'm over this motherfucker.
Well, you'll see stuff that people like that they don't even post themselves, so it'll be weird. You'll be sitting there like, oh, is the State of the Union today? And then it'll be like somebody, like a stripper photo or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm getting a little too much info about people here.
You know what? And Twitter is a little... It's too much. I follow a lot of nasty places. That's what it is.
The key is just not like the photo, man. Just so do I. It's all good.
But sometimes they catch you like 3 a.m. You just hit that heart like, whoa, what the fuck is this? I'm going to share this to us. So, you know, I shared one of that nasty things to somebody. I'd say I shared one to George Garcon one time.
I don't
do shit like that. I don't share shit like that. And I think it was one night, maybe I was drinking or whatever. I was just like, damn, somebody else got to see this shit. And I just said, well, fucking George is young. You know, I'm older. So I was like, he's young. He likes shit like this. And I tagged him. I sent it to him. He hit me back like, yo, your account get hacked? Yo, I got this shit from you. I was like,
you okay?
He's like, you normally don't send shit like this. Like, but I like women. I wanted you to see this shit.
I might be able to get back with her. So I won't say her name, but a girl I've been seeing on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
I was showing a photo of her on her Instagram to my godfather, who's like my older brother.
Okay.
And he is he's tech savvy, but he was trying to zoom in on the photo.
Oh.
And he clicked like on it, and it was like a photo of hers from like 4 years ago. So on Christmas Day, I was, you know, she's like, oh, I guess I'm being stalked on the internet. That's
good. You scroll back a while to look at this goddamn photo.
I just want to see what you look like with long hair. That being said, you got anything else you want to promo, dude?
No, man. Just, check me out. Check my podcast out. Check out the website. Everything kind of sprouts off of that. TyRaney.com. That's T-Y. Last name is R-A-N-E-Y.
Check him out, people.
I definitely recommend. It's so that being said, guys, Mike and Ming, thank you for taking great care of us. As always, we're over here at a Shared Universe Podcast Studio. Cahoon's behind the ones and twos. Thank you, brother.
No problem.
If you guys like the show, American Loser Podcast on Instagram. I'm still on Instagram, KP Burke Sucks. You can check me out on Facebook. I'm having more fun on Facebook, let's just be honest, because I feel like I can actually handle the waves that are coming in on that one. But that being said, guys, this was Satchel Paige, American Loser. Sorry, guys, a little quick addendum here. There's one thing we forgot to mention while we still have Ty in studio. There is a pop culture reference to this, and Kahuna reminded me of it. And Kahuna, break it down, buddy.
So for those who are fans of Ice Cube, he was in a film back in 2005 called Are We There Yet? It was like, it was a weird era because you know who Ice Cube is. And he just does these fucking family movies for like a hot second. And you're like, what the fuck are you doing here? But I loved this movie as a kid. I never realized that Satchel Paige was the little fucking bobblehead that would talk to him.
Wow.
And he was voiced by Tracy Morgan.
Who might be the funniest. I think Tracy Morgan might be, just his voice alone makes me laugh.
Yeah.
So the idea that he's the Satchel Paige bobblehead is kind of I'm enchanted by that.
That is crazy. That is so crazy that you mentioned that, because now I hear the voice like, yo, man, you went the wrong way again. Like, that shit, wow. Satchel Paige.
And he
Jeez.
Would refer to him as Satchel, too. Like, he was like, Satchel, shut the fuck up.
He would. Yes, he would.
So that was what we had to bring that one up real quick, man. So that was. Is there anything else before we get out of here for real?
I think that's good. That was it.
So it was definitely. So next time you guys watch the movie, Are We There Yet? Realize that you have now enhanced your viewing pleasure thanks to American Loser.
Nice.
An American loser the day I was born. An American loser the day I was born. An American loser the day I was born.